story fables and ghostly tales.
Welcome, Tale Tellers, to today's episode. It's a finale of the three-part No Sleep episode by Kay Lesso. So, if you've not heard the previous two episodes, this one might not make any sense. But hey, I'm the kind of guy who loves listening to scary episodes, no matter what the order. I know, right? For the sake of not ruining any spoilers, I won't go into detail about this episode and keep it mysterious. A few shoutouts to go through, of course. Troy Shaw, you champion, thank you for the likes and your comment on the previous episode. My apologies for any confusion I caused. I'm sure we're on the same page. It's a shame you can't hear a smile. Seriously though, cheers for everything you do with this channel. It means a lot to me. Thanks, mate. Blackpaw360, thank you for your ongoing support and likes. I really appreciate it, so thank you. Quasar Bolt, thank you for the comment. I'm glad you found the second part of last episode really interesting. That's really cool. The Crazy Town Podcast, these guys are just great. Thank you for supporting this channel. They talk about weird and wacky and strange things, so check them out. And Cadavercast, a fantastic father and son show that is family friendly and discusses creepy horror creatures like gremlins, Dracula, King Kong, you name it. They go through it. Really, really great show. And lastly, but not least, The Mad Catter, another podcast storyteller just like myself. Many thanks, mate, for your support, and stay tuned, Tale Tellers, because I have something in the works with him. It's going to be great. So, that's The Mad Catter. He's on SoundCloud. Check him out when you get a chance. Okay, Tale Tellers, you know what time it is. Time to turn the lights off, the sound up, and get ready for something different. The Brother My Dad Doesn't Talk About, finale. Your Tale Teller is Kay Lesso. Since myself and my sister went down into the bunker, I'd been racking my brain about the whole experience. What were those missing children posters doing there? It got to the point that I was struggling to sleep at night, so I finally decided to return to the bunker in order to gather more information. I asked my sister to come along, but she refused, and made me promise to stay away and drop the matter. Of course, I told her I would leave it and move on. But I knew that wasn't even close to my real intentions. I waited till dark and set off into the woods. When I arrived at the bunker, all was how it was the last time I had came. This was sort of relieving in a way. I was already freaked out massively, but it always seemed that my impulses overtook any rational thoughts that I have. I proceeded to open the door of the bunker and descend down the steps. With my torch lighting the way, the place seemed even more sinister than before. When I reached the first room, I noticed something that I hadn't before. On the wall across from me was a very faint outline of what looked like a square. Initially, I thought that maybe a photo had been there before and it had left a mark. But as I looked closer, I realized that it was what looked like a hidden safe. I pulled on the cracks in the wall in an attempt to see if I was correct about the safe. A whole square patch of the wall pulled away to reveal a square-shaped hollow out space. I shined the torch into the space and saw dozens of small jam jars. The jars didn't contain jam. The jars did not contain jam. Each jar had a label that stated a name. Ordinary names like Peter, Andrew, Stephen, Eva, etc. At first, I didn't quite catch on to what was in the jars. But when I did, I felt physically sick. Each of the jars contained one bone, looked like finger bones, and a map stating where the rest of their remains were hid. As you can imagine, I was deeply disturbed, and a sense of panic and disgust consumed me all at once. I couldn't stop thinking about how disgusting and vile and evil my father was. I didn't want to go home, but I couldn't let him get away with this. I knew that I needed more proof. So I decided to continue to look around the bunker in order to find as much as I could. That's when I found it. Another diary, lying on the floor as clear as day under a pile of rags. I opened it and began to read. The words were written in the same handwriting as the diary I had found of my dead uncle's. But this diary did not contain sad pleas of a small boy wanting to get out of a hole he was trapped in, but rather, brutal descriptions of how he lured each of his friends and other children into the woods and killed them. Entries about how he always kept a prize from the victim. I dropped the diary and took a step back. My uncle was the killer, but he was only a child. I knew that I had to ask my dad about this, but I wasn't sure if he could be trusted. What if this was all a setup? So I decided instead to go to my grandfather. My grandfather and I are very close and he's very old. I was sure that if I did enough digging through his house and his memory, that I would find something. I asked him outright, half expecting him to play dumb, but instead he stared at me dead in the face, got up and walked over to his desk. He handed me yet another book and told me to read it. He left the room looking somewhat upset and somewhat detached. I began to read. This was a book that belonged to my grandmother. Missing children posters, the same as the ones in the bunker that were glued to the sheets. And there were entries upon entries of my Nan begging for some higher power to cure her youngest baby of his demons. She explained in detail about her knowledge of my uncle's evil side, and she even mentioned that one night, the night he went missing, he tried to kill my father as he slept. That was when my Nan snapped. She couldn't take the pain anymore. She ordered my grandfather and my father to take my uncle deep into the woods. It appears that my uncle was hiding the evidence of his murders in the war bunker, and my Nan says that my granddad and father put uncle into the bunker and chained it shut. My Nan talks about how they fed him every day and gave him books to write in. She just wanted to keep her baby, but she didn't want her baby to take other mothers' babies away. Towards the end of the diary, my Nan's entries became cold. No longer pleading for her child to get better, no more talking about her guilt. She simply wrote, and I quote, "The dark can keep him. No more food. No more water. Let the ghouls of the children have him. I don't want him." I don't know what happened to my Nan to make her snap, but all I know is my dad isn't a child murderer, but rather the brother of one. A huge thank you to Kaylesso for this story. What a great writer, right? Definitely mastering the arts of suspense, mystery, and horror. I'll be keeping an eye out for more of your stories, mate. 10 out of 10, will narrate again. And of course, a huge thank you to you, the listeners. This channel is growing, and only with your help. And you listeners, well, that are listening, it makes a big difference. If you enjoyed today's episode, and want to spread the word of this channel to other people around the world, take 2 seconds to click that like button, and bam, just like that, more people hear about it. Seriously, every like, every 5-star rating on the iTunes app, this channel grows, and I'm really, really thankful. Not to mention, I always pay attention to my fans. I always include you in the shoutouts, thanking you for your support. You take the time to listen to me and support me, I'll return the favour right back with a big thank you on this channel. Well, tale tellers, this is the place where stories live and you tale tellers come to listen. Enjoy your day or night and join me every weekday for our creepy tradition. And as always, till next time.